Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, and we'll be reading to chapter 4, verse 11. Matthew 3. Excuse me while I get there. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. This is the word of our God. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus arrived at Galilee at the Jordan. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus, answering, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. This is the word of our God. It stands forever.
This, of course, is the first meeting of the Independence Reformed Bible Church in the year of our Lord 2021. Oftentimes, you'll hear sermons around this time that start out like this, facing an uncertain, you know, whatever the new year is. I was tempted, I didn't do it, as you can tell, I was tempted to instead preach a sermon called Facing a Certain 2021. There are certain things that we can say with certainty that will continue. Wicked civil magistrates, for example. You can be certain, as Paul said to Timothy, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. And we must remember this next phrase, deceiving and being deceived. Remember that. Remember that when you face the lies that you will continue to be told in 2021. That they're not just deceivers. They're not deceivers who can see everything clearly. They themselves will be deceived. I find tremendous solace in that, I really do. Those wicked police officers, many of you got my email, that arrested a woman for simply filming a hospital. And I heard her talking about it later and how shamefully she was treated and how they could not read to her what she was actually charged with. Shameful. We can be certain that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. In other words, evil men and seducers, They're not just going to like take a break and say, oh, you know what? I think tomorrow I'll start to be honest. I'll start to tell the truth. No, no, no. Be sure that they will wax worse and worse. But I decided not to go down that path exactly. Our title, Not by Bread Alone, Facing an Uncertain, that should say Certain and Predictable 2021. Does it say Uncertain and Unpredictable? Certain and Predictable 2021. That's what it should say. My friends, what do we do with this? How do we proceed in the face of powerful, wicked people? We can live with it if they're powerful but not wicked. We can live with it if they're wicked but not powerful. But what do you do with powerful and wicked? Well, this morning our central idea is that testing is necessary. Testing is one of those things where it's the last thing we want, but oftentimes the first thing we need, if you will. And we're going to see this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 8, from which this first quotation by Christ comes, why testing is so necessary for us in 2021. First of all, though, looking at what we just read, it seems like Christ himself doesn't need to be tested at all. And that's an odd thing, isn't it? I mean, we have to consider and think about this. If Christ is going to be tested, really now, if Christ is tested, we will be, right? And look at the circumstances before which he was tested. He has two tremendous testimonies as to his character and to his position. John says, verse 12 of chapter 3, Matthew 3, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. How's that for an endorsement? All the wicked, the chaff, you're not even going to be able to find them. The wheat, the valued, he's going to protect. And by the way, the chaff, it will not only just go away, it'll be burned with unquenchable fire. This is who I'm talking about, says John. But Jesus gets a much greater endorsement than that. Can you imagine this? When he had been baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, verse 16, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wow. We just had three witnesses here. The Bible tells us, the Old Testament tells us again and again, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We just had three witnesses as to the character, divinity, and authority of Christ. We had John, who Jesus later said, of all men born of women, no one was greater. That's a pretty good endorsement. Then we have the Holy Spirit endorsing him. And then we have a voice from heaven endorsing him as well. A voice from heaven, mind you. And the very next thing that happens, Jesus is led up by the Spirit. That Spirit that descended on him like a dove leads him to temptation. Or testing, if you will. Just a few words about this. We won't go into the actual testing, except to say, as a point we've made often before, that Jesus, we often like to say, well, he quoted the scriptures when the devil tempted him. What we don't like to say quite as much is that he actually quoted the what? That Old Testament. You know, the one that we're not supposed to quote. Yeah. And he quotes from Deuteronomy, which we'll be looking at this morning, the first time there. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here, Jesus addresses a problem that we see in some even Christian circles, but is actually a Hindu worldview idea that if you need bread to live on, if you need physical things to live on, you've not yet reached nirvana, if you will, or knowing everything is maya or illusion. You should, to reach that ultimate spiritual status, not need to eat anything, not need shelter or anything like that at all. But Jesus doesn't say man shall not live by bread. He says you shall not live by bread alone. He recognizes that you need bread. But he also recognizes that that bread is not going to do you much good unless you have every word of God. And I find it intriguing that he quotes this verse, by man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's quoting the Old Testament, that very large book which we have decided we don't need to live by. Did you ever realize that? Did you ever think about that? Jesus here saying man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, talking about the Old Testament, because all those words proceed from the mouth of God, and we come along and we say we don't need those words. And forgive me if you've heard this before from this pulpit, you're going to hear it again. It is a huge problem in Christianity today. How many times have you quoted something from the Old Testament and someone just dismisses it by saying that's from the Old Testament? And I've heard that. I've had to say, well, that would be the book that Jesus referenced 70 times. Well, where did this quote come from? Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would. Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to read for you verses 1 through 11. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live, and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and statutes, which I command you today. Our theme this morning, testing is necessary. And I think this goes along with what we're facing here in 2021. I'm sure this is no news flash to anyone here. The Church of Jesus Christ, the institutional church, the visible church, if you will, the church that names the name of Christ, was under pressure in 2020, and I believe much greater pressure in 2021. I think that's a certain thing. How do we respond to this testing? Do we see it as necessary? Many have lamented the state of the Church of Jesus Christ for years. There was a time in our history here in colonial America, especially, not limited to that time, that when heresies came in or foolishness came in, it was the preachers that stood up against these heresies and against these crazy ideas that came in. It was preachers, you can read their sermons even to this day, that stood up against anything that opposed every word that came from the mouth of God. They stood up, they spoke about it, they preached about it, they taught their congregations. That's not happening anymore. It's almost as if the more important it is, the less we're allowed to talk about it from the pulpit. That's not the way it always was. This testing that we're going to face, that we're facing now, my friends, I believe it is necessary. I hope to make that point throughout this sermon this morning. Testing is necessary for three reasons. Knowledge of ourselves. Who are we really? Secondly, knowledge of God. Do you understand that testing tells us who God is? And thirdly, knowledge of God's word and commitment to keep his commandments. Those three, knowledge of yourself, knowledge of God, knowledge of God's word and commitment to keep his commandments. I believe that unless we have testing, we will not get to these points. These three points. Why do we say this? Testing is the only way that you will be able to act responsibly when you have to act responsibly. We do this all the time, right? We test to find out what's going to happen when the chips are down, when you have to act responsibly, when you have to make a decision that is honorable to God and loving to your neighbor. First of all, knowledge of yourself, verses 1 through 3. There's two levels of knowledge going on here. I want you to see this. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So in a sense, God is saying, I did this so I would know, but of course he already knows. But he's going to make it obvious to everyone. And then secondly, he says who the real object of the knowledge is, not really himself. Read the next verse. We'll see that word know again. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So there's knowledge going on here. Knowledge, my friends, here it is. Knowledge that is not possible without the testing. Moses makes it really clear. They had to be tested so that they would know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew Poole says this about this verse. To know what was in their heart, in your heart, that is... And this is a difficult list here, but you can't argue with it. That you might discover to yourself and others that infidelity, inconstancy, hypocrisy, apostasy, rebellion, and perverseness which lay hid in your heart, the discovery of which was of very good use both to them and to the church of God in all succeeding ages. Let me ask you a question. If you were all that, infidelity, inconstancy, hypocrite, apostate, rebellious, and perverse, if you were all that, would you want to know it? Or would you rather kind of like not know that? Kind of like, well, let's not talk about that today. Do we understand that if we're going to be responsible before God, if we're going to obey him, love him, serve him and our neighbor, we have to know what's in our heart so that it can be dealt with. If we don't know and we don't care, it'll never be dealt with, am I right? If you were really that bad, would you want to know? And see, here's another point of this that I think about all the time in Deuteronomy. You got to remember what's happening here. The folks before them had died off, all except for Caleb and Joshua. Here is Moses telling them, it's time to go in the land. One of the most difficult parenting challenges I think ever existing would have been the challenge for the parents, the challenge of the parents who failed, right? The parents who failed, they were the ones that were going to die in the wilderness. And the Bible actually uses some kind of gritty language, you know, like their carcasses fell in the wilderness type thing. Doesn't really sound like a great funeral service, really. I don't know if they had one or not. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And these were the parents who had to teach their children that they failed and that they must succeed. Can you imagine that? I'm not really so big on passing on my failures, quite frankly, to the next generation. Not really interested in talking too much about that. But that's what they had to do. Do you see the importance of what I'm saying here? This testing had been going on the whole time. The whole time. And the first group failed the test. They kept on complaining against God. And then when they had the final test, which was go into the land, you'll recall that they failed that test. And then they wanted to pass it. You remember, right? They failed the test. And then the first thing they say is, oh, no, we're sorry. We're sorry. We're going to go to the land now. And then they got chased way, way back. And it would have been the job of the parents to tell the children about this, about what happened. My friends, this job of parenting has a lot of challenges. But this is one passage that I think shows the importance of it. Parenting cannot be ignored. You can't act as if it happens passively. It is active. You need to work hard at it. Knowledge of themselves. Have you ever noticed that the more we talk about how good we are, the less we need God? Have you ever noticed this? If we really are these things, perverse, rebellious, apostate, and hypocrites, if we are that, then do we not need a God to save us? Do we not need that? That's why this idea of total depravity, of understanding that it's our idea to just oppose God, challenge Him, do anything else but believe Him. That is us. My friends, that is us in our natural state. If we don't remember this, we will not remember God. Secondly, knowledge of yourself is number one. Knowledge of God, verses 4 and 5. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Moses making clear to them, don't you understand that these testing that you went through was not because God doesn't love you, but because He does. As a man chastens his son. Why does a man chasten his son? Punishments of various degrees and comportion, if you will, if that's a word. Why? To make him worse? Or to make them better. Testing, my friends, is necessary. The testing that we've faced in 2020, the testing that we will face in 2021 is necessary. From one of our hymns, praise to the Lord who all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? You see, what we do here is this. We forget God so quickly. This manna thing, I think about this a lot. That was miraculous, was it not? Their garments did not wear out on you. How long do you think it took them to come up with a natural explanation for this? You see, God has sustained us through his ordination of what we call natural events, if you will, right? Springtime harvest, fall, the winter times. The grass grows, the vegetables in the garden grow, the fruit trees blossom. And after a while, we're just like, okay, that's just the way it is, and who needs God? I've thought about this a lot. Their clothes didn't wear out in the wilderness. I don't know how long it would take if I was out in the wilderness. It wouldn't take long till the clothes on my back were worn out. I guarantee you that. All the sweat mixed with the sun. But that manna. I wonder about this. How long would it have taken to think that the manna was like a natural event also? Do you see what God is saying here? God says, I sustained you, these people. You forgot about me. You didn't want to worship me anymore because you thought it was all happening on its own. You forgot or didn't consider that I am a providential God and every good gift actually comes from me. The manna came from me. There's other natural events that you eventually called natural, but everything is sustained by me. Do we understand that this morning, my friends? That Peter says the very word that created the world is the same word that sustains the world. Do we understand that God sustains the world by his word? We call it natural, and we've got this big explanation called evolution where we've decided that all this order came out of chaos. Any explanation will do except the explanation of a providential God. And that's what these people were doing here. Knowledge of God, a providential God, a God who is behind all good things. Knowledge of yourself, knowledge of God. If we don't have this testing, we won't find out either one of those. And if we don't find out the knowledge of ourselves, we won't be interested in the knowledge of God. And thirdly, knowledge of God's word and commitment to keep his commandments. Verse 6 and following. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Now let's stop there for a second. I want to kind of concentrate on what happens next. Because what happens next is Moses is going to say, you better learn how to keep these commandments. We have these testings for you to figure this stuff out so that you can know yourself and you can know God. Now going forward, you're about to have to act responsibly. That's what's happening next. You're going into a good land, but the land itself is not going to take care of you. You are going to have to act responsibly in this land. You're going to have to grow up and be men and women here, and you're going to have to work the land in order to love God and love your neighbor. Look at what he says. You shall keep the Lord, if you learn to fear him. Why? For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, water, fountains, springs, wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, honey, oil. You're going to eat bread. You can even mine the hills for copper and for iron. All this. But if you don't survive the testing that I gave you when things were back in the wilderness, you will not be able to handle this new land. My friends, this morning, speaking to a local congregation and yet speaking to the church at large as well, how responsible would we really be if the reins of power were actually given to us in this country? What would we do with that? Would it look that much different? Would things look that much different than they do today? If they wouldn't change at all or change very slightly, then shame on us. Then we should not actually exercise any power because we can't act responsibly. And I don't know what God's going to do in 2021. I don't know. But I do know this. You and I must understand that testing is necessary. And here's what else is necessary: that we have to respond properly to it. I think of those children of Israel wandering around there in the desert for all that time. After a while, yawning at the manna, so what? Not even being thankful for it anymore. Not being thankful that their clothes didn't wear out. Coming up with naturalistic explanations for everything. Failing the test, and thus failing to understand what Matthew Poole here says, their perversion, their rebellion, their apostasy, their hypocrisy, their infidelity. I myself, my friends, don't really want to know what's in my heart. But if you and I, but if I don't find out what's really in my heart through reading the Word of God, as James says, it's a mirror. It tells you what's here. If we don't want to do that, then we will not act responsibly when it's time to do so. I think we have plenty of illustration of that today. We have people in power who want to steal and kill and destroy. They would not know what to do with the land flowing with all these things, what we just read. They would immediately destroy it. And we're told in the scriptures that there were other people in this land that was very productive, but they were wicked people. They shed innocent blood, and God threw them out. In fact, he even says the land itself threw them out like throwing up. The land, even the land couldn't take these people anymore. In 2021, if we're going to love God, love our neighbor, let's bear up under the testing that is coming our way. Adam Zamoyski, as we wrap up here, wrote a book called Holy Madness, which is an excellent title. And he talks about the fact of how people with power, if you will, and they got a hold of the reins of influence. He says this: the romantic imagination soared above such earthly matters as practical assistance to the downtrodden and physical help to the destitute. I'll stop there for a moment. What we just read is the best answer for helping your neighbor. What we just read from Deuteronomy, that is. A land with tremendous resources. Well, the resources are there. The best thing for the downtrodden and the destitute is for them to learn how to take advantage of the resources that God gave already. Understand this, my friends. Either we are going to teach people how to take care, to take advantage of the resources God gave us, or people will be taught to take advantage of the resources that the state gives them after having taken it from someone else. That's it. There's no third way. And what happens when we look to the state? The romantic imagination soared above these earthly matters of the downtrodden and destitute. It flew to confront what it saw as more fundamental spiritual wrongs. What's that sound like? Yes, the wrongs. I love people that we want to address the wrongs that happened 150 years ago. How are you going to do that? It was highly selective in seeking them out, guided by its sense of drama, pathos, heroism, Faustian destiny, and not least of the picturesque. It identified causes where there were none, projecting its own aspirations onto societies which, viewed through a prism of ignorance and wishful thinking, appeared to fit the bill. My friends, Zamoyski here is pointing out a problem. And the problem is this: that if we don't identify the problems in ourselves that God identifies, as we've said so often before, we'll be looking for problems out there. And guess who's supposed to fix them? The very same people with all the apostasy, hypocrisy, wickedness in their hearts. Let's not be them, my friends. Shall we in 2021 recognize that we will be tested and recognize at the same time that this testing is necessary? It's necessary to help us understand who we are, who God is and a commitment to keep his commandments. We'll wrap up with verse 11, well, 10 and 11. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. This is my application for this morning then, my friends. How do you not forget God? You ever think about that? How to not forget God? How do you do that? Putting plaques around the house? Memorizing scripture? Well, memorizing scripture is a good start, but right here we're told how not to forget God. We're told right here. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. That's how you forget God. My friends, this morning, God is telling us that through testing and right response to it, we will not forget him, because we must keep his statutes, ordinances, commandments right through the middle of whatever happens in 2021. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for Moses, for your son, the Lord Jesus, for this knowledge that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, as it applies to us. May we embrace that word, O Lord, and may we embrace that Lord that looks into us and tells us who we really are. And when we find out who we really are, then our proper response is to run to your Son, the Lord Jesus, who died for us and saves us from our sin, and there's just no other way to be saved. May we run to that Christ when we see what we're really like. And may we reject everything that would keep us away from Christ. We pray these things in the name of Christ himself, our Lord, our Savior, our King, who will judge his enemies, and who will destroy them, burning them like chaff with unquenchable fire. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.